Following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Pulse Gamecast. Today's record date is August 18th, 2014. We're both back in the saddle. I am Gradle.
I am Jason.
And we are, like I said, full steam ahead. Real life has kind of calmed down, as it were, and we're back to the norm. So, Jay, we haven't seen you around for a while. What's been keeping you busy?
Other than my van. Oh man, like you said, real life has been killing us, but that's not why we're here. Let's talk about something fun, not, you know, while it's sucking hell. Let's talk about Dawn of War or Soulstorm. I actually found the Steam sale. What was it, 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago? They had a 50 or 66% off on some spots of the entire THQ / Warhammer collection. Uh-huh. And the only one that I didn't have, which I purchased at some point, but my family that I let borrow it lost my key. So I had the game with no key. And I was like, oh, that's useful. So I bought it for $4.99, Dawn of War Soulstorm.
Oh, nice.
Which is the Sisters of Battle Nuns with Guns. And that's my team right there. Love me some Nuns with Guns. Being growing up in Southern Catholic school, there's just something releasing about watching a woman in a habit shoot somebody else.
Yeah,
but I played a little bit of that. Yeah, it is actually. I love Dawn of War. But that being said, I played a little bit of that. Honestly, I played like the opening credits, and I got into it, and my son walked in the room and said, "Daddy, we gotta eat." Turn that off. Then I moved on the next night to TSW. Actually, I was looking for you, but you're working. So, and I played just a little while for that, and got my character into a position where we can hook up and do some missions.
Cool.
And yeah. And I'm down in the Venetian area, so hanging out there, waiting to do some what do you call them, simulations?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? Yeah.
The scenarios. So,
the scenarios, thank you, that's what it is. We're down there waiting to do some scenarios. Me and you'll hook up for that. And night before last, I played some EQ2 just because a friend of mine who had been doing this podcast had been talking about it. I went ahead and uploaded that, or excuse me, patched that, and got onto one of my characters. And actually, I got into one of my lower level characters. You know how you auto-climb one of your characters to level 85? Remember when they did that?
Right, uh-huh.
I should never have done that to my main, because I was like level 40 something, and I just missed all those levels, basically, is what I did.
Right.
So I feel kind of bad about that now. I'm sure I pumped it at the time, and I may have talked it up and everything. Don't do that. Do that to one of your characters, you know, just like auto create a character and boost them to 85.
Yeah.
And do that. But don't do it to one you've got history with. It's sort of like getting out of high school, going to the military, and then coming back and being like, oh, wow, you got a baby and I don't love you anymore,
right?
It's not my girlfriend, where are you? So anyway, so I played a little bit of EQ2, and I went back to one of my old Froglock paladins.
Yeah.
His name is Higup, which I thought was kind of funny. So, but he's got the, I think they had it on one of their episodes that where they were doing the arrow through the head, Steve Martin's arrow through the head thing,
right?
That's, I'm wearing that, an arrow through the head, and I've got the one of the cards back when they were doing the booster sets where you'd get on Legends of Norrath.
Yeah.
I've got the shield. It's really cool, actually. It's a dragon's head shield that consistently spews fire out of its nose.
Oh.
And it's really wicked looking, and even though this guy does not use a shield, he carries it on his back as part of a, you know, an adornment.
Uh-huh.
And, or not adornment, a costume piece.
Oh, okay. And, okay.
Yeah. So strictly, it's what it looks like. It's not, no functionality, but it is the coolest looking shield I've ever seen. So that's what I've been doing. What about you?
Well, like you, I've been playing Dawn of War. Now, I'm not playing Soulstorm. I loaded only the first three, Dark Crusade being the final expansion. And I'm playing the single player campaign on that, which I think they're all the same, just conquer the map kind of things. Of course, I'm playing Space Marine, the Blood Ravens. I'm enjoying that. That's pretty fun. Let's see. Of course, Team Fortress 2, my palate cleanser. The Secret World, like Jay was playing. Just kind of running around Transylvania trying to do some final missions on that. Final Fantasy 14, I've started a Marauder, which is a two-handed axe fighter kind of type character. That's pretty fun. Pretty easy to play because they just deal out so much damage and they can actually wear the heavier armor, so that's good. And on a whim, I don't know why, but I reloaded Dragon Age Origins. Now, I've never finished this. It just got too tedious for me, but I'm going to give it another go. I started off with a human noble rogue, and whatever. So I went back to a an elven mage. So we'll see how that goes, but that's pretty fun. And I didn't put it in the show notes, but I also reloaded and last night restarted Dead Space 3. So I guess I'm just glutton for punishment or something. But so I haven't really hit the scary parts of the game yet, but I know they're coming. And so that's what I've been up to. Let's go ahead and move on to news. Let's start with something I was kind of glad to see. Now, we've talked on the show a couple times. Not a couple. We've talked on the show a lot about City of Heroes potentially rumored to be coming back. So, on the big currently running City of Heroes sort of kind of fan site, it's called COH Titan. This is where you'll also find one of the really good forums that still are moderated, still run, and still are updated and populated. One of the moderators, his name is Iron Wolf, has apparently been in negotiations with NCSoft about just flat out buying the game. So, you know, just think about that for a second. Not outsourcing the game, but flat out buying the code, flat out buying the servers if they're still there, which I don't think they are, but flat out buying the game and getting it up and running. So that is freaking awesome. So we knew that. Now, what is really cool is, I believe on the 13th of this month, so like, you know, 6 days ago, his post says, essentially, you know, paraphrasing, been talking with NCSoft, da-da-da-da-da-da. The quote is, the price is doable. The price is doable. So, we might have City of Heroes back sometime in the not too distant future.
Poor Titan.
Well, exactly. You know, City of Titan, that's still out there and coming. Valiant's Online is still out there and coming. Heroes and Villains. I know. Now, you know, a lot of these people are fans. I think there might even be a dev or two that left to work on these fan-based games. I don't know what they'll do if City of Heroes comes back. I wonder if they'll scrap their I don't know. I can't imagine they would scrap their projects, especially Valiant's, which is actually in alpha at the moment, and City of Titans. You know, we've talked about them a lot with that Unreal 4 engine. I don't know what they would do. That's something I just thought about that when you said that.
Yeah.
But because... but good news nonetheless. Really excited to hear that. In all honesty, if it came back, would you play?
Yes.
let's say that it comes back with, at the time of the termination, same graphics, which were outdated. Would you still play like that?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Honestly, I probably would if they come back full featured with City of Heroes and City of Villains.
Right.
With, you know, the cities actually there. I probably the full would.
Game. Full game. Everything. Issues and patches and... Yeah, okay. I agree. I would play as well. And, you know, there towards the end, of course, City of X went free-to-play, I think it was. Was it free-to-play or buy-to-play?
Yeah, I think they were free-to-play. And then free-to-play. They had microtransactions, much like a few of the other things that we have.
Okay. Just, you know, I had bought the games, so I never fooled with that. But what were some of the transactions? Do you remember? I don't know.
Yeah, you could purchase costume sets or power types.
Oh,
and then
that's right. Yeah.
You could also get stones. They had sort of like adornments in the modern games. Like if you have a set of armor that's really badass, you could customize it to make it even more so. Much like what's that new system they're using in TSW where you can specify a certain power to work even better? Augments, yeah. They had power augments in City of Heroes and City of Villains that you could actually... Now, you could work your way and get the augments, or you could just buy them outright.
Gotcha.
And I was doing that, so...
Yeah, now that you say that, I had bought the magic set of gear, the costume pieces.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you didn't have to buy it all. You could buy just individual pieces if you wanted to mix and match, which is part of what was so cool about that game.
I didn't even know that. I just bought it all outright, so I had all the witch's hat for the female and the... kind of Doctor Strange looking attire for the male characters. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, but check out cohtitan.com. We'll have a link in the show notes. If you're a City of Heroes, City of Villains fan, it's kind of looking good. let's move on. Last weekend, which just a couple days ago, SOE Live wrapped up. This is Sony Online Entertainment's big convention. This year it was in Vegas. I think it's in Vegas every year. They used to be called the Fan Fairs. I guess I don't know when they changed it. But anyways, we've got a good bit of news, of course, for Jay and I, who are big EverQuest fans. We just thought we'd throw this in there because, you know, EverQuest, everyone, you know, it's fun to pick on EverQuest. I get it. But SOE Live of 2014 expansion number 21 or 22 was announced. So
yeah, you can't pick one if it keeps going, right?
I know. You can say all you want, but you know, cry into your Cheerios fans of insert game here. But EQ is still up and running, still has a fan base, and they're still putting out expansions. You know, whatever.
Yep.
The Darkened Sea is the new expansion for EQ1. Now, Jay, you looked this up, the drop date. I don't remember what it was. Do you?
Is it October? Yeah. It is. Let me roll back to that. It is October. You see, and you should have gone ahead and let me announce the thing that allowed me to do this.
Well, go ahead.
October 28th. No, October 28th. That's it. Go ahead.
Okay. So October 28th of this year, the Darkened Sea expansion 21 or 22 for EQ1 will drop. Will include features such as more mercenary AA, yes, which is alternate advancement, mercenary gear, heroic adventures, which they describe as tougher dungeons, but also with random elements. So I guess randomly appearing mobs, maybe the cave or the castle will change and it's not always the same route. More spells, alternate advancement points for you, the character, raids, and recipes. Now, they're going to include four new zones, and the one, they're like, blah, 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 this, 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 and this. The one that jumped out to me that they're including is West Karana.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, Jay and I, and we've talked about it, played EQ back in Vanilla.
Yeah.
Till expansion whatever.
Good
luck running
across
that.
It
was always a static zone.
Yeah, and it was huge, too. Remember running across
it? Huge. Freaking huge. So, obviously, at some point, I dropped out and picked it up again, but I guess at some point, something happened to the Karanas. I have no idea, but yeah, it was East and West Karana, wasn't it? Was there even a North and South, or just...
Okay, that does it. We're gonna have to do one of our shows from EQ. We're going to have to right. go into EQ and say, okay, yeah, we're right. Karana's right here. come join us, pick on us, make fun of us.
Corona
was huge. You come outside the gate and you turn, I think, right to get to, is it West Corona? And then you have all those outposts, isn't that correct?
I think You would leave Kinos and you'd run down through the valley. And there was a farm.
And if you just kept going straight, that was East Corona right there, right? You just kept going straight out of the gate. Like, you, obviously, you kill all the rats, bats, and the little stuff right there next to that.
Right, yeah.
And then, yeah, because the Electric Fun Stuff in his Rat Killer song wasn't enough. Hmm. And then you just keep going straight, and that's East Corona, which led into, wasn't there like a tunnel or something?
I thought there was.
Yeah, there's a tunnel where that one guard who was named would always do a loop through there, and that's where everyone would meet to do their trading and selling.
Right.
And if you were a bad character, a aligned character that, you know, couldn't be near Kinos, he would absolutely crush you.
Oh yeah.
So I think that's I think I've got that right somewhere in there. It's been a while since I've been over there.
Yeah. It's been straight out of Kinos you would run into Darkpaw.
Okay, I'm gonna have to buy that. I'm gonna have to buy that DC card and put it in my computer just so that we can actually go ahead and transmit our thing from there, dude.
Well, you know, and it's what I'm saying, man. We've talked about the legacy servers in EQ. Unfortunately, they're up to like whatever the Plains one was.
The Plains one
is like POT.
Oh yeah, Plains of Power.
Plains of Power. Pop. That's where they're at. Yeah, Pop. Now, like I said, if EQ1 ever starts a new legacy server at Ground Zero, man, I'm there. I'm here, Sony, take my $15, let me back into vanilla EQ. Ground floor.
Plains of Power, that was kind of big. That was when they changed their graphics engine, first of all.
Yes.
They introduced the Berserker. They introduced, obviously, the Plains, because you get to the different Plains levels. Plus, they introduced the isn't that where they introduced the, the PvP, where you fight each other, the arenas. Isn't that where they introduced the arenas? And then right after that, I mean, like, right on its heels, they introduced Dungeons of Norrath, which gave you Froglocks.
Yep.
I mean, when I mean on its heels, it wasn't even like 3 months later.
Yeah.
They did the Froglocks, and then they did the Dungeon of, starts with a Y, and I can't think of the Yakesha. Yeah.
Yakesha,
right. So, I mean, that was what you're talking about, Pop, right there. That was the turning point for EQ.
Yep.
I've still got that box set sitting in the back.
Oh, yeah, dude. I still have all of my expansions. I think most of them are out in the garage in a box, but I still have them. Dude, I still have my who did it? I want to say it was Prima, maybe it was Brady. I still have my strategy.
Oh, the Prima guides? Yeah. I've got my EQ2 Atlas, dude.
I do. I have my my Prima EQ2 strategy guide, yeah.
Yep. God, we dated ourselves.
Well, we
did. That's right, kids. There used to be books.
Yeah, right. You weren't able to always go to Game Facts and get walkthroughs for everything.
I know, right?
That's a big tangent, but obviously Jay and I are very passionate about EQ. On top of EQ1, EQ2 is also dropping an expansion called the Altar of Malice. Here's the thing about this. I'm not going to tell you what's going to be in that expansion, because Sony has said, well, there'll be zones, there'll be spells, there'll be quests, but everything is subject to change. So it's obviously still in development. I just watch Sony's or EQ2.com for...
Yeah, November 11th.
And that's a thing, man, November 11th. It's like 3 months away now. And everything, all information is subject to change. Ooh.
That's some rapid development right there. I mean, I've worked in many companies that do rapid software cycles, but that's fast.
I know. And while we're talking about EQ, so what exactly were you doing in EQ2? I'm curious.
Honestly?
Uh-huh.
I guess I told you. I updated my character, so he's like level 85, and I missed all the storyline between where I was, which was Desert of Flames.
Yeah.
Between Desert of Flames and everything after that, which is, if you know anything about EQ, that's like the third expansion to EQ. 2. So I've missed everything from Desert of Flames forward until you get to this new zone that they were equipping you for, which is like just outside Frostfang. I can't think of the name of it.
Gotcha. But
you know what I'm talking about, the Frost, you know, where in the old EQ1, it's where the Frost Giants used to live.
Hallis or...
Yeah.
Crossfire Chasm?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So it's not like I'm not playing my own character anymore, and he was a Necro. So 85 level Necro, I've kind of missed a lot, which I'm upset about. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to go back and fix that. So
I gotcha.
That being said, I went back to my Paladin, who was my other favorite character, my Froglock Paladin, and I started playing him, and he's only level 35. So truthfully speaking, I was letting my son watch me play because my little 5-year-old son likes to watch EQ. So he crawls up in my lap and he says, "Oh, look, the frog jumps, Daddy." And I started going through the Enchanted Lands and showing him big bears and badgers and stuff like that. But truthfully speaking, so I just want to do – I honestly want to hook up with you and possibly some of our listeners and see if we can't get like a – it doesn't have to be a guild going, you know, but just get a little small thing going where we hop around and do a couple of things here and a couple of things there, because you can solo EQ too, but it's so much more fun when you got a team speaking, everybody's joking around and, you know.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, level 35, I haven't even hit no Desert of Flames yet, so.
You know, I've talked about this guy before, and I cannot for the life of me remember his name, but he regularly posts videos. He is still an active EQ1 player, and he posts his stuff all the time on YouTube of course, him playing through EQ1. But he plays on a legacy server. I'm pulling up my YouTube right now just so I can try, and I believe this is him. I want to say his name is Andy Gilliland, G-I-L-L-E-A-N-D. I think
that sounds familiar.
Like I said, he has a ton of EQ1 videos. This is the guy I was talking about who has a 20-minute video on YouTube of what EQ is, what it was, the graphics.
Yeah, comparing the stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, if you were an old EQ player like Jay and I, then it is an absolute trip down memory lane.
But
yeah, just check that one out. That's pretty cool.
For those of you kids who haven't done it, that's like going to an old car show. You're just like, oh my God.
Right. Alrighty. Let's see here. Next bit of news. Robert Space Industries, his game Star Citizen, has... Now, the news article was they've broken the 50,000 mark. Well, it's actually the 51,000 mark. That was done just a few days ago, I believe. And I set the little widget they have on their website to auto-populate, and they're 51,000 and a half. So that's about where they stand with 525,000 supporters. So the game that gives you dirty towels in your hangar bay to show damage is still growing and booming.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you purchase the I think we talked about this the other night. If you purchase the package, you can still get into the arena battles that they're having right
now.
Yeah,
because the dog fighting module has gone live.
So
you get to get out there and fly your ship around.
But you got to have some cash, dude.
Yeah, Jay and I were looking at this a few weeks ago, man. The cheapest one is 30. I think it was 30.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of your little basic dinky ships. Now, I don't remember if...
You weren't really getting good ships until you spent like 150 or more.
Yeah.
And those were... They were specialized. I mean, all these ships are specialized. Obviously, this game's going to be fleet battles with specialization. But the really... I mean, God, did you see that one? What was it like... Was it like $1,200 or $1,000 to get that one that's like multi-tiered, multiplayer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I was like, oh. Plus, when you buy them, you also get those, like, I don't want to call it XP packages, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That time package that you get with it.
Right. Boosts and all that stuff. Yeah. They actually just released a video this past week for Gamescom in Germany. And... It's just kind of your standard, this and that, walking around. It's kind of neat because it actually shows combat, in-game footage combat, and it's freaking amazing. But what really caught me and what really caught my eye was the big cruiser that honestly looked like Prometheus. The Prometheus ship from the movie Prometheus. It looked exactly like that. With the four kind of, if it was Star Trek, I'd call them the four warp nacelles hanging out of the back.
Yeah, nacelles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that, oh man, it looked great. But, like Jay said, the ships are, the ships, with the exception of the basic dinky $30 one, are very specialized. Now, that dinky one is supposed to be kind of an all-around. There's like three versions of it. There's a, you know, jack-of-all-trades one, there's a cargo one, and there's kind of a light patrol craft one, a little more fighter type.
What they'd consider DPS, right?
Yeah. But other than that, man, I mean, they are cruisers, they are battleships, they are manufacturing ships. I mean, it is extremely specialized. And like Jay said, they're not cheap. So, unless you just have a ass ton of money, you're going to have to really decide what you want to play before you buy that ship. Because, you know, $200 and you've got that ship, which means you're locked into that role. So, yeah, Robert Space Industry up and running, still growing. He's still programming away. As far as I know, he's the primary programmer on the game, maybe even the sole programmer. I think that's always been his kind of foible, as he's always the lead and main programmer. Speaking of Chris Roberts, right now on Origin, who is EA's online game store, Wing Commander 3 is their free game at the moment. So create a free Origin account and download Wing Commander for free.
Nice.
if you want to, I have no desire to.
In case you don't have enough Mark Hamill in your life.
I know, right? I know, that's funny. All right, now our next bit of news Jay put in here. This is really neat. I haven't tried it yet. I was having some trouble getting it to work on my iPad, but it's working great for Jay on PC, so why don't you tell us what it is?
Chris Grigori. I'm going to credit the guy who created this. He's apparently a UK person, so big kudos to you Brits over there. We appreciate you giving us this country, but hey, you've got all the good programmers. Or at least all the original ideas. I don't know why no one has done this before. Basically, it is a Java / I believe it was Perl? Java Perl, is that right?
I don't even know.
But
I think
anyway,
it's PNP or something?
PSP, that's what it is.
PSP.
Yeah. So basically, it's a calendar. And it shows you at the top, there's checkable items, PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, Xbox One, 360, Wii U, Wii, and 3DS. And when you put a checkbox in one of there, it populates the calendar with all the release dates for that month. It also has a RSS feed in case you wanted to aggregate. And then at the bottom, it's got an about key with a color legend, some feedback, and a donate. And I highly suggest you guys donate because this is actually pretty dead good cool. And I'm glad he made it. I'm actually going to donate $5 to this guy just because. Because this is exactly what we need, not just as a broadcaster, what we do, but just period. I mean, how many times have you wanted to go look this something up? And I don't know when that releases. All you got to do is, I think it's sometime in October. Well, all you got to do is say click, 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 click. You can click on today. It takes you to today. And then you just, you know, scroll forward, highlight PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, PC, whatever, and find it. And when you click on that, it'll show you, like a Google style, a link. And when you click on that link, it takes you to their web page. Usually on this one, he's got it linking to Bomb, I believe, Game Bomb.
Mm.
But the fact that he's got this linked and updated with all the releases is just, I think, really incredible. And I'm really impressed. Mm-hmm. For something that he's giving out for free, basically, and for it to work. He does require a little bit of finagling. Obviously, if you've got an Apple product, sometimes it may or may not work because it's Java-based.
Yeah.
However, it does respond to the control-click Windows, you know, if you're going to increase the size of something. I haven't tried it on my mobile device yet, Android mobile device. But there's a couple of, you know, it can still be improved, obviously. But, I mean, this is really awesome. When I unchecked PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and PC, those were still populated on there. But when I went a month forward and then came a month back, basically refreshing it, it went away. So, that being said, great product. It's called Playdate. That's the name of it, Playdate. So, if you want to find it, it's www.playdate.com. Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Gregory, G-R-E-G-O-R-I, .co.uk/playdate. And we're going to put that in the show notes. But it's really a good program. I suggest you donate to this guy and use it.
Very cool. Yeah, it is pretty cool. Like Jay said, oops, I'm just jacking up my Google Doc.
Go.
Nice.
You didn't need that doc. Come on now.
That's right. Like Jay said, it's free. It's awesome. It's cool. It obviously works great on PC. I checked it out on an iPad, which, you know, Apple and has its weirdness. But that's really cool because it's, you know, I asked Jay earlier, did that drop in October? Well, you know, he used it to pull up the month and see when the thing drops. So that's really neat.
And it's up to date because remember we had two different names under the expansions.
Right. Yeah. Yep. For the EQ stuff. That's right.
Yeah. And let me just to throw that out there. This obviously is real time. And the reason I say that is because I checked it a few minutes ago and it had a new entry for something I checked probably about an hour or 2 hours ago. So I'm guessing that's he's cool. Got it hyperlinked somehow. I haven't checked into the code. But it's well done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really neat. Highly recommend it. Alrighty, that will wrap us up for news this week. And we actually have some stuff in geeky stuff. So, Jay, this is kind of all you this week for the most part.
What? No. All right.
Yeah, go ahead and take over. It's all you.
All right. No. I'm gonna wrap that back around on you here in a second. But fifth edition handbooks. For those people who are wondering, like me, well, I haven't seen anything on 5th Edition Handbook. Well, if someone would make a Playdate version for game stuff, I'd be happy. Because I did not know that 5th Edition waited until this week dropped. So I was digging around trying to find anybody who'd actually wrap their hands around a copy of the 5th Edition Handbook, which is, you know, obviously more along my lines. I was a 2nd Edition player. Everyone knows Gray was a 3.5 edition player. He loves 3.5. And we both know that 5th edition is going to be kind of the compromise between us. So I wanted to really get my hands on it. I did the play testing with my kids. Well, finally, someone did a review. And I was all like hardcore. I can't believe I can't find anything. Blah, 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 blah. And Gray says, did you not know that it didn't drop until this week? I was like, yeah, I knew that. So I knew that, yeah. But so someone posted today on playboardgames.com, the D&D 5th Edition Player Handbook Review. If you want to look it up from just that right there, you can Google it, or you can check our show notes, trying to draw you in so that you'll see other stuff. But 5th Edition Player Handbook Review was pretty good. It's very basic. However, it does talk, since they've actually got to wrap their hands around it, about things like feats, spell casting, which may be different from what you're used to. Combat's kind of straightforward. Character backgrounds, personalities, things like that, you know, fleshing your character out, stuff like that, and then the 12 different classes that are included in the basic character creation guide. This is everything you need. They're even including the Dragonborn, Gnome, Half-Elf, Orc, Tiefling, which I'm never a big fan of the Tiefling, but hey, you know, you can't fight it once it's there. But that being said, take a look. He talks about it, and this is for those people who are not really sure, kind of on the thing. I don't know if I want to buy this, because, I mean, we're not talking about something cheap here. I think it was going for, what, $49.95?
Yeah, it's $50.
So $50, that's a chunk of change to drop. I remember when these things were $29 and I thought that was ridiculous. So, but I mean, it said what, 150 pages on this bad boy?
Honestly, is that what it is? I thought it was bigger than that even. Maybe not. I thought it was bigger than that.
No, I think it is 300. Yeah, it's 300. That's what it is, because it's 300 and 300. However, what I did find out, and this is just me throwing that out there, what they did on theirs was the hardcover version is $29.97 player's handbook if you go through Amazon.com. And I know a lot of people have been, So Amazon.com, they've been getting hammered really hard lately about, you know, how they're fighting with their vendors about how they want to release things, such as, you know, the hardened edition, the day zero edition of, what's the game that we were talking about earlier? Advanced
Call
Warfare.
Yeah,
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. That's one thing. The Disney movies, you know, because Amazon can pretty much just lay it down now. They're so big that they're as a reseller, they hold more keys to the kingdom than the producers do.
Right.
And because of that, they can lay it down. Well, a lot of people have been worried they're going all they're going to do is jack up the price. Well, I've looked, and it looks like you can get, and I say this lightly at the moment because I haven't, you know, researched it. You can get all three. I think the Monster Manual, the Player's Handbook, and the DM's Guide for $86 is what I was seeing. Now, I was, you know, that like I said, I'm throwing that out there. I don't know for a fact. I know the Monster Manual core rule book was $34, and then the Player's Handbook was $29. So I'm going to check around into that. But even there, you're getting two of them for less than $60. So, right at $60.
Right. I'm actually on Amazon right now, and you're right. Player's Handbook 5th Edition is $29.97, drops today. That's all I'm seeing.
And then the Monster Manual, I believe, core rulebook, is that correct?
I'm trying to find it. It's not on the first page. Let's see here.
It's $34.33, I believe.
Yeah, the DM's Prime Guide members. Is $34. That's right.
And then
Yeah, now just remember, and we talked about this, they're doing some weird crap. So the Player's Handbook came out today.
Yeah.
Being August. The DM's Guide doesn't drop until November 18th.
That's correct.
Now, there is an adventure that came out today called Horde of the Dragon Queen. And I believe they're putting out...
Yeah.
It's $23 on Amazon. They're... Oh, did you mean 20 is like the level?
No, you're right.
Oh, 20, okay.
Right around $20. What I'm seeing is that Player's Manual is $29. I'm just saying the Player's Manual is $29, Dungeon Master's $34, and the Monster Manual is $34 is what I'm seeing.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, and they're spacing those out really far. Because I'm trying to remember when the Monster Manual came out, and I thought that was like
September 30th.
Oh.
It will come out on September 30th. The Dungeon Master's Guide dropped today.
No, the Player's Handbook.
Yeah, Player's Handbook. I'm sorry, August 19th. Dungeon Master's Guide is November 18th.
Yeah.
And Monster Manual is September.
Is next month.
Yeah, so it'll be...
kind of weird.
So one a month, basically.
Yeah, one a month, but I still think that's kind of weird. I mean, I see why they're doing it, I guess. You kind of need monster stats before you need the DM's Guide, I guess.
They also, and this is just me throwing that out there, they might also be holding off printing, you know, because this just, you know, how often are the people buying print books nowadays, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that is true. And as a matter of fact, in my D&D game, there's a guy who, solely on his tablet. I mean, everything's on his tablet, except for his dice.
Yeah, I can't do that.
No, I can't do that either. Not at all. I hate to read any kind of document on the PC. I just can't do it.
Amen.
Now, of course, you know, here at HollowSweetMedia.com and the Pulse Gamecast, we recommend supporting your local brick-and-mortar game stores if at all possible.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if money's tight.
$29.97 ain't so bad for a Prime member,
that's
right?
That's not so bad. That's right. It's not so bad. And I want to throw a little correction here. And I've corrected Jay on this before, and I've got to do it again.
Do it.
I started with 2nd edition. So, all of you dice monkeys out there, brah, 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 munchka, brah, brah. I started 2nd edition. 2nd edition Ravenloft is by far my most favorite thing to play. Jay just kind of lumping me into the power gamers out there.
I was not. You say you like 3.5.
That's what we play in the game I'm playing in. It is 3.5. And it's okay, but, you know, if I had my druthers, it'd be 2nd edition AD&D all the way.
Amen.
No doubt.
Well, so much for us, right? I mean, we're just not going to get that choice anymore. And, you know, feeding that in, let's go ahead and roll with it from there. Speaking of blasts from the past, if anyone out here remembers Tactiles, anybody? Bueller?
Mm.
Tactiles were a really old version of two-dimensional mapping used back before everything was, again, on digital, you know, pen and paper. We used to use three-dimensional well, we used to use made up miniatures and then books that were laying around and a coffee cup that was supposed to be a battlement,
you know, right?
Whatever else, the dog collar, that's the zone of fire, you know, and whatever happened to me laying around. Well, things moved along, and not too long ago, they offered a thing called Tactile, which is basically a puzzle piece of approximately, now I remember being smaller, but you know, the new ones are supposedly 10.5 by 10.5 inches. So basically it's an interconnecting dry board, a wet slash dry erasable mapping utility. So you put it on the table, you connect four of them together, and then you draw using a dry eraser what the characters are walking into, right? And this is an old thing, actually. I remembered it from a while back. Well, they brought them back as part of a Kickstarter for one more week. So everybody who's listening to this, you may actually get a chance to get into it. They're, as of today, $72,884 of $90,000. They have 602 backers and 1 week left. I'm not going to tell you that I don't appreciate it, but the prices seem to have gone up a little bit.
Right.
I do remember them, like I said, I do remember them being smaller, but I also remember them being cheaper. So I don't know, maybe production costs have really gone up, but this is something that a lot of people really pumped. I mean, the first review on here is Ari Salvatore, and he said, read the quotes from the game industry giants and believe them. I used Tactile for years, and I will again now that they're back in production with better production values. So it's hard to beat the guy who pretty much wrote the book on Forgotten Realms, right? Between him and Ed Greenwood, we wouldn't even have it.
Right.
So him saying that, of course, Ari Salvatore can buy as many of these as he wants, but
right.
The two pledge zones that I found that were even close were $68. You get an economy set of six Tactiles, and basically they fit together like, I don't know if you know the little foam board that you give to infants, where it's like little pieces that you click together. You know, I mean, you kind of push them down into each other. They're interlocking puzzle pieces. That's what these look like. I'm going to include the show notes, but like I said, it's called Tact-Tiles. And you get an economy set of six Tactiles, which are 10.5 by 10.5. They fit together like a little puzzle piece, and then you kind of ride on them. And then that includes shipping and handling, which is about $16 for U.S. citizens. So you get six of those for $68. I want to say that's a good deal. All the way up, if you roll up to $92 or more, you get a standard set, and at $97, you get an economy set. Wait, that's for Canada. I'm sorry. At $92, you get a standard set, which is nine Tactiles. That's a 3x3, which is basically, 30 by 30 inches. Well, 32 by 32 inches. So that's fairly good, you know, table size for an entire adventure. And since you can wipe it off and do it again, you know, you might even be able to half that and give some of them to the players and keep some yourself. And you write out stuff and they write out stuff and say, here's my map, you know.
Sure.
So there's that. I think it's a good idea. I wish it would have been cheaper, but I also don't want them to make an inferior product. So until I see them and compare them to the old ways, there's the non-grid and the gridded pattern. But until I see them and compare them to the old ones, I really can't make an informed decision on that. But it is being made in my home state. It's up here in Huntsville, Alabama. And I'm glad they brought them back. Let's just put it that. So, you know, appreciate it. Hope I can get my hands on them. So, Mike McConnell, good job. That's about it. I'm going to go ahead and say, I think there was something you wanted to talk about that happened this week, I think.
Yeah. So on top of SOE Live wrapping this weekend, Gen Con wrapped this weekend. Gen Con, of course, being the huge tabletop Dungeons & Dragons-based gaming convention started by Gary Gygax, yada, yada, yada. And now perverted by Mattel, but anyways, they wrapped. Of course, there's all kinds of stuff coming out and going on and whatever. One game that they talked about that I kind of liked is Fantasy Flight Games is putting this out. You know, I'm a big fan of FFG. I've talked about it all the time. They're putting out a game called Star Wars Imperial Assault. Now, what this is a tile placement game. Which, for those of you who don't know, it instead of a board or a tabletop, you have a tile. And the tile may represent a section of a hallway or a cave. And as you move your pieces through that area and explore other parts, you place more tiles to represent, you know, the expanding hallway or building or floor of the haunted house or one, whatever. So this is a tile placement game of Star Wars. It is 2 to 5 players. Now here's what I think is kind of neat. It is not a cooperative game, especially if you play the two-player version. What is happening is one player plays the Rebellion. This is during, you know, Star Wars, A New Hope, things like that. That time period in the lore. So one player plays the Rebellion. You're a crack team of commandos infiltrating a facility. The other player plays the Imperial Army. Now, what it represents is the commandos go in with their number of people, and that's it. And they're going up against the might of, you know, the Imperial Army. From what they say, the person playing the Imperial Army almost has unlimited resources and just throws stuff after stuff, troops, AT-ATs, probe droids, left and right. Now, as you play and level and kill stuff, your pieces level up and gain access to new abilities, you know, new weapons, stuff like that. So it is kind of a counterbalance. I'm sure the commandos level up, get better weapons, become better shots, do more damage, blah, blah, blah. But that is the basis of the game. I thought it looked really cool. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of tile placement games. I love them. And it's Star Wars, so it looks really neat. Also, they talked about another game. I didn't put it in the show notes, but Fantasy Flight is doing as well. It's called Star Wars Armada. Now, if you're familiar with X-Wing, which is the starship-level-based combat where you have miniatures that move across a tabletop, you know, and the movement is done by inches, movement in inches. Armada is the bigger battleships. So the Star Destroyers, the Mon Calamari
cruisers.
Yeah. Things like that. It's done on that scale. So those are the things that are fighting instead of like 3 X-Wings against, you know, 7 TIE fighters. That's the scale you play on. That looked really cool too. So fantasyflight.com, fantasyflightgames.com, I believe it is, or boardgamegeek.com. We'll have a link in the show notes. Those are some pretty neat things.
I think I know why you like the Star Wars Imperial Assault, because I can almost verbatim break it down and tell you what it reminded me of.
What's that?
Space Hulk.
Yeah.
You got one group who can throw pretty much anything they want to at you. Oh, it's a blip. No, wait, it's 3 gene stealers.
Right.
And then you got like the embattled veteran space marines who are backed up, you know, in their suits trying to get through. They can level up every once in a while depending on, you know, what the scenario calls for. And it's a placement tile game. So I was just like, that sounds like Space Hulk.
Yeah.
And the more I looked at it, I was like, oh, it is. Rock on.
Well, you know, FFG, Fantasy Flight, does the, they definitely do the card-based version of Space Hulk. Instead of, like, a tile placement or anything like that, it's all done by cards. So maybe they kind of ripped it off, I don't know.
It looked awesome, and I was looking at Armada, too. I see that, that really looks cool, because we did a few of those, space battle games, and I've never really found a home for one, but if Star Wars is one of them, that might draw me in, so...
Yeah, it reminds me almost, well, you know, it's not really fair to say because there's so many like it, but almost, what is it, Epic? 40K
yeah.
Epic?
Yeah. Epic, that's, yep.
The Spaced. Was that the Spaced or was that the real miniatures stuff?
That was the miniatures thing. The one you're thinking of is 40K Naval. It's the Gothic. Naval Combat. Gothic. That's it,
yep,
Gothic.
That's it, Gothic.
I
that's
actually
what I
have the rule book. I just don't have any minis.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a huge, huge Starfleet Battles player, and he was also a Gothic player.
Nice.
He played Eldar.
Eldar, really?
Yeah, I know, right? For whatever reason.
Oh,
alrighty,
well.
Guys. That Jay, unless you have anything else, that's going to about wrap us up for this week.
That's good for me, sir.
Alrighty. Like I said, another Back in the Saddle, full-blown episode. Thanks for tuning in. And Blacklace will have our contact information on the way out. Feel free to drop us a line, shoot us a tweet, send us an email, or whatever. Okay, I didn't know, Jay. I thought you were getting ready to say something. My bad. Alrighty.
Nope.
Well, thanks a lot for listening, guys, and have a good one.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.